I'm learning to stand on my own two feet. I appreciate the ride, but I'm on my own. It's me and Arbor and any other person I choose to induct. If you wanted me to be one of yours, you should have inducted me instead of sponsoring me.
I tried. You told me you'd rather die,
he snaps. That's news to me. I look up and meet her eyes. I know why Floss warned me not to look at her around the jackal. I can't keep the longing and the worship out of my face, and only Lips has been blind to it. I can't help but look at her now, and the clenching of the jackal's jaw lets me know he sees it for what it is. Lips stares at me as she replies to him, I will never be owned, and certainly not by you. I'm the wolf. I'm fucking flirting with danger. I know it deep in my bones. But I grin at her with the savage joy that her words rip through me. She tips her head back and laughs like a lunatic. And that's when I know she does feel fear. She's just as affected by this as I am. The car pulls into the docks, and the jackal's hand tightens on her knee until she grunts. I lurch forward and grab his wrist, ready to choke the fucker out if I have to, and he reaches for his gun with his free hand. At the click of a gun to my right, I tense up.
You're hurting the little girly jackal. Best you let her go,
Dearmid croons. Luca parks the car and flings the door open, presumably to help his boss, now he has a loaded gun pointed at him. But there's a beat of silence before he says,
Boss, you'd better get out of the car.
The jackal is sneering at Dearmid as he wrenches his wrist out of my hand.
Pointing a gun at me? You're a fucking dead man, O'Cronin.
Dearmid clucks at him.
Hurting a fellow member of the 12. You wouldn't want that getting back to the meetings, now would you? Think of what the crow would do to you. He's been waiting a long time to take you out. She's mine,
he roars, grabbing her arm, and the door on his side of the car is ripped open with such force, I think it will tear right off the hinges.
Get your fucking hands off her, Diardo,
roars the newcomer. My eyes stay glued on the jackal until he drops her arm. He looks out the door, grimacing, and finally, his face shifts into something close to wary. I blow out a breath and yank Lips into my arms, shoving us both out of the door on the other side of the car. She's not shaking, no racing heart in her chest or shallow breathing, but I can't say I'm as unaffected by the little spat. Once we're out, and I've run my hands over her to be sure he didn't fucking knife her without me noticing, I glance up only to find the fucking butcher of the bay staring back at me. I gape back at him like an idiot. He winks at me.
Fuck me. What the hell have I gotten myself into?
I told you. I called for reinforcements. Illy's a good guy. The best. The Mountie whispers in my ear, and then pulls away from me, stepping back into her role as the wolf. A good guy. He's a cage fighter. A trained killer. His weapons of choice are his fists or a fucking meat cleaver. He shows no mercy and has no conscience, and, according to my crazy hot girlfriend, he's a good guy. I think I'm going to have a fucking stroke.
Chapter 1.
Spying on clients for the Tiger is my favorite type of work. I'm picky about what I'll do for him. I've made it pretty fucking clear to him that I will not take out innocent witnesses just to keep his dirty clients out of prison. And he's good about finding me work that is okay with my morals. Which is how I find myself dressed like a Mountie street girl at 3 a.m. outside a bar fending off sleazy, drunk assholes. Leaning my overheated, sticky back against the brick wall while I'm staring at my phone should be a big enough indicator that I'm not currently selling. But 3 broken fingers later, and I'm still having to tell guys to fuck off. Not that I'm selling at all. It's just the best spot to find the information I'm after without attracting too much attention. My phone vibrates silently in my hand, and I cringe before opening the new text.
Right. Where the fuck are you? If you don't tell me, I'm texting the group message, and you can explain this shit to Avery.
Ugh. I'd told Harley not to come down until after 10 a.m. I wanted to finish up the job and sneak in 3 hours of sleep before I had to deal with the fallout of our chat with the jackal. But in typical Harley style, he drove down to the bay from his hotel on the coast early. I'd called the POA and gotten him into the townhouse in the gated community I've rented. But the barrage of text messages has only gotten worse as the night wears on. I'll come back to the